It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
It's the third and final hour of the program with me, Nayelu Pandona, 6 minutes after two once again. Good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for sticking around. You've stuck around till the third hour. You must be proud of yourself. Thank you. I'm really proud of you. It's time for us now to get into our daily focus with our pastor, Pastor Babuluki Museki, who's going to be helping us understand a few more things about Umjolo. It's all about patience and timing, we're told. In today's fast-paced dating culture, waiting on God's timing might seem like a challenge. I'm sure many of us have seen and experienced this state of impatience, but patience allows us to thrust and trust His perfect plan and perfect timing, dare I say. So let's discover how waiting rather than rushing can build a stronger foundation for a relationship that honors God's timing. Here is Pastor Babuluki Museki. Good afternoon to you, Pastor, and welcome. Thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you for having me.
So how does trusting God's timing impact the way we approach dating, Mfundisi?
The act or the process of trusting God encourages us to prioritize His will over our own desires and the pressure to rush into a relationship. Mm. When we trust in God, we trust that He has a perfect plan for us. We don't rely on ourselves as the final arbiters of actually what happens. We don't map a route for us. Mm. Yes, the role that we play, but we see Him as the one who has the perfect plan. And when you have that, it shifts our focus from seeking immediate gratification or trying to force things, you know, to unfold according to our own timeline, our own desires. And instead, we learn to be patient, recognizing that the relationship that is built on His timing will be more fulfilling and stable and aligned with His purpose for us. Mm.
So when we talk of God's timing, when do we ever know when is God's timing? It's not like God has got a watch and then He shows us tick-tock, it's time up. When do we ever know that this is God's timing or this is not God's timing? This idea is all fine and dandy, but its practicality a bit elusive. Just tell us, how do we tell God's time? We have watches to tell our time, but how do we tell God's time?
Yeah, that's a very important question. And you know, we need to see how do we, you know, regard or what signs are they show that it's God's timing. As you say, when we have watches and all that, we have calendars and all those
absolutely
things. So when we look at the Bible, the Bible has a set of principles, and these principles, they guide us as to show us what is God's timing. We have what you call the biological clock, for example. This has to do with biological and physical development of the individuals. When you look at kids, we don't expect them to be in a relationship, to do, and they're talking about marriage because they're not physically fit for the responsibilities of marriage, for example. Okay. And then there's also the aspect of emotional, social emotional intelligence and maturity.
Okay.
That is another aspect. And these things, they vary according to individuals. I mean, someone may be socially and emotionally mature at the age of 26, while the other one reaches that at 30, for example. Mm. So, and then there's also, it's very important, there's the aspect of spiritual maturity. When a person sees, okay, what are things that are convictions on my side, and what things are preferences, what things am I still struggling with?
Mm.
Are there vices in my character, or is just weaknesses that can be overcome?
Mm.
Vices are different from weaknesses in the sense that a vice is an addiction, something that is used to define someone, to describe someone. Yeah, so there are those elements, and then there's also the financial aspect. The financial aspect. I'm not saying that people should be super rich, but one has to be in a position whereby they can take care of their family if they end up with a family. So those are the indicators of God's timing, and when those things they fall in place, then it's an indication. These are like things that we can gather from the outside that serve as indications. And then, of course, it's also the issue of personal readiness. You look at all these other things, and then you also consider, am I really ready for this? Am I ready to take a step and take up this responsibility?
All right. So why is it important to wait on God for the right person, for example, instead of just rushing into a relationship?
Waiting on God for the right person is important because it ensures that the foundation of the relationship is built on his guidance and wisdom, rather than on our own temporary emotions or fleeting emotions or desires. When we rush into relationships, it can result in unnecessary heartbreaks. Now, I'm saying unnecessary. I don't want to give the impression that when we wait and we don't rush, we will never suffer heartbreak. That can happen. Things happen. People can start well, and then divorce comes along. So unnecessary heartbreaks can be avoided by not rushing into relationships, and we also lessen or mitigate or try to curb the high numbers of misaligned values or entering relationship for the wrong reasons, such as loneliness. Someone feels that I'm just lonely. I need to get someone, or societal pressure. No, you are 35. You still don't have a child. You're still not married. So some people can get into that because of societal pressure. But it's important to make sure that you are not crashing into things.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. So how can singles practice patience and faith while waiting for a relationship?
Focus on their personal growth and deepening the relationship with God. That is very, very fundamental. And there are a few ways to do that. You mean strengthening the relationship with God, prioritizing spending time in prayer and Bible study and service. That way they grow more in the relationship with God, and the more they'll trust his plan for their life, including their future relationships. Things like surrounding themselves with supportive people, cultivating community of friends, mentors, or church family who will encourage and support them in their journey. And one more thing on the issue of personal growth is the issue of improving ourselves, even intellectually, physically, keeping fit, studying, getting that diploma, getting that certificate, getting that degree. That helps. It really helps someone to practice patience and faith while waiting for a relationship.
And what does the Bible say about the value of waiting on God's timing in relationships?
The Bible doesn't explicitly talk about this in these principles in relation to relationships, but we can get the principles and apply them in everything. There's the issue of trusting in God's plan. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says that you should not trust in our own understanding, but we should trust in God. And then there's also the issue of patience. Psalm 27, 14 says, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. So trust in God's plan, patience, and also the issue of acknowledging God's sovereignty, that God is sovereign. God decides what happens, how it happens, who it happens to, and all that. And Ephesians chapter 3 says, to everything there is a season, and then mention those things. So relationships, like all aspects of life, happen at the appointed time.
Final question for this. How can couples avoid the pressure to rush into deeper commitments before they are ready?
The pressure is too much. I want to say that it's high. It's a very immense pressure, and it will need discipline. It needs intentionality. It needs a communication and a strong foundation of trust in God's timing. And there are ways in which this can be fostered. First of all, focus on building a strong foundation. Psalm 127:1 says, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it.
Yeah.
So couples should take their time to know each other sufficiently, including, you know, knowing each other's values, goals, and personalities. Mm-hmm. And this from an objective point of view, not a subjective one.
Yeah.
And communicating openly and honestly.
Yeah.
Proverbs says that plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. So being transparent about expectations, about fears and hopes for the future, that can actually help to curb getting into commitments before someone is ready.
Yeah.
And also setting healthy boundaries. You talked about the boundaries yesterday. Mm. Establishing physical boundaries, emotional boundaries, and also spiritual boundaries. So that, you know, we avoid rushing relationship. And again, this issue of avoiding external pressure, the society, family, friends, you know, colleagues, age mates, they have this pressure that they put on us. So we should be aware of societal pressure.
Right.
Pressure that might push one to move faster than they are comfortable with.
Right.
And then last, you know, seeking God's guidance through all this can also help with that.
Got it. Got it. I hear you. Got it. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your insights. Let's talk again tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, brother.
Thank you so much.
Gosi Mfundisi.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.